Good morning. We are learning the Sefer Zera Kodesh for the Yom Tov of Chanukah. This is a very, very deep Torah, and just trying to give it over, probably struggle with words, so please forgive me. But the goal here is to try to get a deeper understanding of the power that's available to us on this holy, holy Yom Tov. So the Zera Kodesh, in his commentary to Chanukah, he goes through all the Yamim Tovim. For those who are trying to follow inside, this is specifically a Torah that he gave for the fourth night of Chanukah. And there he explains, he begins with an explanation of the verse, Bahaloscha. So this is from the reading of Chanukah, although we don't get to this part until the end of Chanukah. But there the Torah is describing to us the mitzvah of the menorah in the Beis HaMikdash, and there it's described as Daber el Aharon v'amarta elav b'haloscha es haneros, when you elevate, when you bring up the, let's say when they kindle, but it should really be b'haloscha, when you elevate, when you bring up the flame towards the menorah. Upirish Rashi says the Zera Kodesh, that Rashi explains on that verse, why does the Torah use the word b'haloscha, when you elevate the flames, it should be when you light them. Rashi explains the fisha halav ola, because a flame rises. Ksiv, therefore, bahadlakasam, when it talks about lighting a flame, lashon aliyah, it uses the language of elevating, because that's what happens to a flame. That's what it's acting out. And we learn from that, says Rashi, tzarich lahadlik, that you have to hold the fire at the wick, until the flame rises on its own, which we interpret to be that when you light a flame, there's a it catches, and then it like rises up, and at that point it's considered lit, and then you can remove away the kindling element. And so that would be true in the Beis HaMikdash, and the same thing is true for Hanukkah. A person shouldn't just go candle to candle. You should hold the flame at each place till the flame rises, and then move on, so to speak, to fulfill this concept. That's on the very physical level. But clearly, the rising of the flame is meant to represent something. So lahavin divrei chachamim, so I want to understand the depth of the words of our sages. V'chidosan or remizasan, and their riddles and their hints. Our sages are trying to tell us something more here. Kasha, he says, I have a difficulty. If you're lighting the menorah, shteidolekas kemitzvasa. He's a kohen. His job is to light the menorah. What kind of lazy person would just light and move on? When you light something, you make sure it's lit. So pshita is obvious. If you're lighting the menorah, you should light it properly. Well, yelach meitzlan there. Don't go away from this lamp to go light the next lamp. Until this one is burning well. I mean, it seems kind of obvious. Otherwise, it's going to go out. Raktidlo kemitzvasi, you light it properly. So why is it? Why is there a included in the name of the lighting is this sort of warning? No, you have to be there and make sure that it's fully lit. Yes.
I would have said, and I've heard this discussion answer, but I hope that you can, if you go through, you can perhaps cast some light on it. I was thinking it was because that in order to get to the menorah, the point is that you go stand on something in order to get to it. So he physically had to raise himself in order to light it. And so, I mean, that's just such a thing.
Yeah, that's a different shot. That's a different shot. You're saying a whole new shot in Bahaloscha, but that's not what Chazal are talking about. Chazal is saying that the flame is rising. Mm-hmm. So yeah, you could say the person has to rise up, although the person lights downward, because the menorah was only 18 tvachim high. It wasn't that high that if you stood on steps. But yeah, that's a different approach. That's not, yeah. So, Gam, another question that he asks, Mazi Aloshin, what's the language? Shall have us ola me'elaha, the flame rises on its own. Lo'omar me'elah. Me'elaha means like almost of its own accord. V'nira mikodem, so before we go there, we have to liyashiv kushis aposkim, answer the most famous question on Hanukkah. The most famous question on Hanukkah. What's the most famous question on Hanukkah? If the miracle was only 7 days, why do we light 8 days? The first day, there was no miracle. There was enough oil for one day. So they lit it. And again, there's different approaches as to how they lit it, which day would be the miracle. But nevertheless, that's the way the Beis Yosef and the Rishonim who preceded him, really. But the Beis Yosef's Kasha, why do we keep Hanukkah? It should be the first day should be because we had oil. That's it. And then the next 7 days was the miracle. The Zohar HaKadosh asks a question. In Parshas Bereishis, the same Zohar appears in two places, just like in the Gemara. Sometimes you'll have the same exact text of the Gemara that will appear in different Masechtas. This statement from the Zohar appears in two different places in the Zohar. Makshi asks a question. It says in the Torah, Batem hadveikim b'Hashem Elokeichem, you are clinging to Hashem, your God. Chayim kulchem ayom, you are all alive today through your clinging to Hashem. Asks the Zohar, how can anyone cling to Hashem? Ha'ksiv esh ochlahu, God is an all-consuming fire. Now clearly, Hashem is not fire, so it's a metaphor, but it's a very simple metaphor that Hashem's light would completely nullify us and destroy us. So how can we be dveikim, be connected to Hashem? That's the question of the Zohar. But I and Sham see what the Zohar says. Okay, so anyone who wants to, go see what the Zohar says and figure that out. What we're going to get is the Heiliger Rav Schitzer's take or interpretation of that Zohar. So he's going to take concepts that are out there in the Zohar and bring them down to a place where we can understand them and apply ourselves for Chanukah. So this is, in my humble opinion, this is how I understand it. So I'm going to explain to you, it gets a little different than the way the Zohar goes at it, but basically the Rav Schitzer is going to bring down this very, very high and holy Zohar into words that we can somehow process. But first, the words of the Zohar. These are the words of the Zohar. He's not going to quote the whole thing, but just the words that you need to know. Someone who wants to understand the wisdom of the holy unification. If you want to understand the concept of holy unifications, but we don't have such concepts in this world. So here's what Hashem gave us. Yistakel b'shalhova, look at a flame. Lo solka, flames will never rise up. Elekad is achad b'mila gasa, unless it's holding on to something physical. Flames cannot exist independently. They have to be resting upon something. Tachazi, but then come and see. Bishalhova de salka, when the flame rises, this is all from the Zohar, it's not from the is train nahorin, there are two lights. Chad nahor achivra, one is white light, which is the upper part of the flame. V'chad, and another one, tichla, is the blue, the lower part of the flame. Now, the blue, if you look in the Zohar says that that blue will sometimes turn black, and that blue will sometimes turn red. And those represent different midos and different things. But essentially, you've got the lower colored flame, which holds on to the wick, to the whatever is burning, a wick in an example. And on top of it, you have this white flame. The Al Nahor HaChivra, and on top of the white flame, Sharya Le'ela above it, Nahura Sesima is a concealed light, the akiflay that surrounds the flame. Around every flame, around the white light, is light or flame that's leaving the edges of reality and visibility. And so there's this sort of concealed light that surrounds the flames. That's how the Zohar pictures a flame. And the way that we're supposed to understand it that way is that the concept of unifications, which is what the Zohar is explaining, by the way, totally off the topic, but I've heard it say that there are those who claim that there's no color, there's no Hebrew words for the color blue. And when someone said this to me, I mean, besides to do with kachol, they're saying in Tanakh that doesn't appear. So I said, what about techeles? So they said techeles is a dye, not a color. Right? So, which is a fair argument. It's just not the Zohar refers to blue as tichla. So it would be interesting to me, because especially if you learn that tichla refers to a specific shade of blue, so then the techeles would have to be related somehow to the blue of the flame, which is a different kind of blue. Anyway, that's off the topic. Let's go back to where we are. But you've got these different layers of the flame, and the Zohar is basically explaining there, which the Rapshit is going to continue to explain, that the unifications that occur in the different spiritual realms are connected to each other and unified together, like the different parts of a flame. There's no distinction between the parts. Try to separate between the blue and the white in a flame. It's all one unit, but there are different layers of the flame. Yichud, this unification of the four elements of the flame, the thing it holds onto, the blue fire, the white fire, and the surrounding light, are a metaphor for the four letters of Hashem's name. And they are a mashal to the four letters of Hashem's name. Udalad Osius Shem Havaya, Hapsila, the wick, is the lower hay. Or Chivra, the white light, Tichla, the blue light, and the Horasasim, the Akavle, and the surrounding light are metaphors. They represent the four letters of Hashem's name. So these holy flames, which come down into this world and they order themselves and represent themselves as if they're pronouncing Hashem's name in its own fiery way. So you also have within you these four colors of the flame, which represent the four layers of unification of Hashem's name. What do I mean? Kinishmosenu, your neshama, who chelik elokam imal, is a portion from Hashem that comes from Shemayim. V'gufenu, your body, mekabel or a neshama, your body receives light. It carries light in it from your neshama. But that's your guf carries the least amount of light. V'yadua, chiesh nefesh, ruach, u'neshama. But then you have the nefesh, which is your life source, your ruach, your spirit, your neshama, your soul. That's all being held on the body. You're also a flame. Shapsila, the wick, that's your body. Holds the different colors of the flame. And so the blue of the flame is going to be your nefesh, and the white of the flame is going to be your ruach, and the surrounding light of the flame is going to be related to your neshama. On top, Makiv is the light that surrounds the Nahora Chibra, the white light. Kain on the neshama, he lamala mi nefesh ruach, and so the neshama surrounds the nefesh and the ruach. The einu musagas kalakon, you can't fathom, you can't even begin to comprehend, can't even begin to fathom your neshama. Or elyon shebener, and that's the surrounding light around the flame, which is beyond our capacity for observance. Shekaru b'zohar hakadosh, and the Zohar refers to that light as nahorasasim, the concealed light. And the way that it works is each one is a seat for the next. The wick is the seat for the blue flame. The blue flame, look at it, you'll see it's the seat. It's a seat for the white flame. And the white flame is a seat for the surrounding light. It's a kise, it's a throne. So your body, followed by your nefesh, ruach, and neshama, spell out yud kei vav kei like the layers of a flame. Yes.
Where is the red part of
So as we said, the lower part can be blue, black, or red in the Zohar. He's just using blue because that's that. But the Zohar actually says the lower part of the flame can be blue, it can be black, it can be red, depending on the attributes of the flame, but it's all those colors are in the lower part, which sits on top of the wick, underneath the white light. Now, we have to be talking about a candle here, because if let's say you like gas, you're just going to get these blue flames. That's different. That's the gas burning. But we're talking about a candle, right, specifically. Just make sure that. Right. Okay. That's what it means. V'shachanti b'socham. that I, Hashem, will dwell upon the Jewish people, it's because the Yudkei Vavkei, if we make ourselves into the right kind of flame, into the right kind of vessel, we carry the four letters of Hashem's name. Where Hashem is the God of the Jewish people. Who are we that we should say Hashem is our God? Like he's, the answer is, Chukel. Hashem is God through the godliness within us. Part of Hashem's godliness is He created us, and when you have a neshama, and not all human beings have this level of neshama. So this level of neshama makes you aligned with Yudke Vavke in a way that's unique. And that's why it's called Elokei Yisrael. God is the God of the Jewish people, specifically for this point. Everything, all of our neshamas comes from Hashem's light, or Ein Sof Baruch Hu, the endless light of Hashem. Hashem calls Yaakov Kel, which is power or force, but it's a alliteration. Is Davig Maod Bechelik Alakasha, but it's because Yaakov brought out the godliness within him. That Hashem says to Yaakov, "I see my godliness within you," so he refers to Yaakov as Kel. So he says, what happens is, now we become connected to a word he's going to use a lot, the hevel of or Ein Sof Yisbarach, of the hevel. What's a good word for? Well, in this case, it's like hevel, like breath or the steam, right? So that different definition of the word, but that comes off of the light of Hashem. I'm going to skip that. Let's go on. So because we're holding on to the name Yudke Vavke, which dwells within us, because we serve Hashem with the four layers, the guf, the nefesh, the ruach, the neshama, dalet osios havaya, which represent the four letters of Hashem's name. And mela nam ba'atzmenu. So here's this word, then we become Esh Ochla, an all-consuming fire. If Hashem's light, we say Hashem Esh Ochla, Hashem is an all-consuming fire, again, metaphorically speaking, and we have that light within us, we're also an all-consuming fire. You are made up of these four layers of the flames, which are a metaphor for the four layers of who you are. So then you are this all-consuming, you have the letters of Hashem's name. We are rooted in there. That's why the Zohar's question is not difficult. In other words, that's the answer. How do we exist? Connected to Hashem. Hashem is an all-consuming fire. The answer is we're also an all-consuming fire. Our source is in other words, whatever it means that Hashem is an all-consuming fire, that metaphor, we are also a part of that metaphor. By having a nefesh, ruach, neshama, and a body, we are also an all-consuming fire, as we said in the Haftorah of Vayishlach, the house of Yaakov will be like fire. Okay, step one. Let's move on to step two. How do we cling to Hashem? So it says here we cling to Hashem, but what's the mechanism of clinging to Hashem? The answer is you have seven connectors. It's by sanctifying the seven gates of your soul. What are the seven gates of your soul? Shtei enayim, two eyes. Shnei oznayim, your two ears. Based nikvi achotim, the two nostrils, v'peh, and your mouth. Those are the seven gates. V'hinei ashivish armanal. He says, take a look at a fascinating thing when it comes to these seven gates. Anu roim shkal echad ene po'apu ulaso. None of them can function. Kim ahide hevel v'avir. They all need air. They all need air and space. You can't see the back of your eyelids. Try it. Close your eyes. You don't see anything. Why not? The answer is because there's no air or light that can get in there. You can't see anything. You need space to see anything that's directly in front of you. Because there's no air. If there's no air, you can't hear anything. If you were to blow something up in space, regardless of whatever the entertainers of the world want to tell you, there's no sound in space. Zero, absolute dead silence. There's no air. All seven gates, they all need air and space. That's how they function. And he quotes from his father who said, basically saying, what you're really sanctifying is not so much your mouth, but the air that's going in and out of your mouth, the air that's going in and out of your nose, the air that's coming at your eyes, the air that's entering into your ears. That's what you're controlling, right? The ears become holy or not holy based on what vibrations of in the air enter into them. And what's entering inside of you is holy things through these seven gates, then you become a holy being. So if that's true of the physical body, so then the hevel that's coming to your soul, meaning what you're spiritually seeing and what you're spiritually hearing, that airspace is even higher, even holier. You should know that comes from the steps before creation. This is where this is going. Hashem created this world in layers of seven. 7 days of the week, seven colors in a rainbow, meaning seven colors that human beings can recognize, seven musical notes that human beings can recognize. All of this is based on the nature of creation, which is as obviously related to the seven gates. But all of that comes from a source. It comes from a source of all those things. So the Hevel that comes from above comes down into this world and then takes these seven different gates. But if you go back to their source, v'sham misyachdim kol shev amidos, there in their source, all seven are connected. V'sham nishpal l'sha'arim, and from there, it goes off into the different gates. Al derech shayin kohen gadol mamshech v'yame kippurim, so that's, for example, what the kohen gadol on Yom Kippur was bringing down great holy lights from above. So what he did was, on Yom Kippur is a higher level. Yom Kippur, you're above creation. And Yom Kippur, you reach into the realm of Tshuva, which is the world of Bina, a very high place. And so when you reach that place, so here's what the Kohen Gadol does. Mimida achash kodem hazayin midas, he would go up to the realm above the seven midas. And he cried zayin yimei abinim, which are the 7 days of the week, la zayin midas into the seven midas. K'mo she'omri mekacha yamona achas. So when the Kohen Gadol went achas, he went up into the realm above the seven. And then achas v'achas, to above and one. Achas v'shtayim, above and two. Achas v'shalosh. And that's what we're doing when the Chazan says achas, and the Tzibur says achas, and the Chazan says achas v'achas, achas v'achas v'shtayim, achas v'shtayim. So what's really happening is we are going one, reaching into this very high place, and bringing it down to level one. Then we reach again into this high place, level two, level three, but all reaching into the realm above the seven. That's very important because obviously we're going to Hanukkah here. So what you're doing is you're reaching into the realm above the seven and bringing down into the steps of the seven. Yes. Yeah. Right. Right. So the instrument with seven strings, all of that, right, which in our world that we live in. Well, that may be true. He's speaking of the world that we're living in. Right? And the world that we're living in is the world of seven, but it's all sourced in the space above the seven. Right, that's like the 49 days of Sfiras HaOmer, but then Shavuos is above all that. Right, it's the 50th level. You reach into the space above seven times seven. No, we only say that by the bowing, right? By the, not by there. Right. Yeah, but that's a different element of the avodah. That's a different space in the avodah. I mean, he does that, but that's by Hashem. Yes. Okay. Okay, I'm skipping a paragraph for those who are following inside because I won't have time otherwise. So these seven gates in you that need hevel, that need airspace, which is really a metaphor for the seven midos inside of you that need this divine spiritual hevel. Nikra menorah. That's what the menorah is. The menorah in the Beis Hamikdash and its seven lamps are the seven gates of your face. The seven lamps of the menorah. They represent your two ears, your two eyes, your two nostrils, and your mouth. That's what we see. Shigamaner. If you look at it, it's very interesting. Fire. Fire can't burn unless there's air. Try it. Cover the flame with a jar. So yeah, hevel. As soon as it runs out of air, lo yidlok, the flame will go out. Because it's the same metaphor for the divine hevel, right? That's just like your gates need the hevel, need the airspace as a metaphor that your spiritual gates need the hevel, this air influence from above. Because anything that needs light, the reason why your eyes need air is because they're also a spiritual flame that needs oxygen, spiritual oxygen. Like the seven gates. That's why it's called the menorah. Your face is the menorah, the seven lamps of the menorah. And remember, the Beis Hamikdash had seven. Our Chanukah menorah has eight. So that's different. But the menorah had seven. Those are the seven gates to your face. How do I bring down this divine Hevel, this Hevel of holiness into the seven gates? So it doesn't work by davening or by, you got to do physical things. The Ikar day mitzvahs ma'asiyas, you have to do physical things. Shana osim beguf, you have to do it with your physical body. Ki zeh ikar tanuka v'yizbarach shema, that's what Hashem wants. Sh'al yidei zeh anu dvukim b'shem havaya, and when you do physical mitzvahs, not just in your head, a lot of people say, well, why do I have to do all these complicated acts? Why can't I just be a good person in my heart and a thoughtful person in my mind? And the answer is because flames can't burn on their own. They need a body. Right? You have to do physical things. Then, when you do it in your physical body, connected to Yud Kei Vav Kei, you need your guf, your nefesh, your ruach, your neshama. Hem dalet osios havayah, they represent the four letters of Hashem's name. Umamshichem ayidei mitzvos ma'asiyus. So when you do physical mitzvahs, she'osim beguf, with your physical body, you bring down Or Hashem, you bring down the light of Hashem, the olam hazeh, into this world. Because you're serving him with dvarim, ufanim, gashmiim, with physical bodily things. And this is the unification of Yud Kei Vav Kei in the name Aleph Dalet Nun Yud. Yud Kei Vav Kei means Hashem is above and beyond, right? Beyond this world, and that's because Hashem is beyond this world. But we have to have Aleph Dalet, the name. We don't say that name. We say Ado Shem because Hashem is master of this world as we experience it. So you have to make it real. Now that's point number two. Third point. We'll come back and tie all this together. Third point. When the Amr Chachamein is all, our sages have taught us, mitzvahs betelos la'asid lavo, that there will come a future point at which we will no longer do mitzvahs. Well, l'havin zeh. So he says, I don't understand. How could that be? The reason why we do mitzvahs is because Hashem set it up that when we make these unifications, ayidei sha'anu ovdemo, so we serve him, yizbarach shemo, beguf with our body, nefesh, ruach, neshama, the three parts to our soul, and each one becomes a throne for the other, so your body becomes the seat for your nefesh becomes the seat for the ruach for the neshama, but ovdemo, yizbarach shemo, bedvarim gufanim, when we serve him in physical ways, we affect the feminine waters, meaning the waters that evaporate from the lower ground in order to give the clouds rain, to create this unification. So that's the same way. We send up the mitzvahs, and it comes down as rain That's the idea. Because she mitzvahs betelos, but if there's no water evaporating, if we're not doing mitzvahs at any point in the future, where's the water that's going to rise to create unifications to come down? Like, how does the world continue to survive if part of the system for the way the world even functions today is because we're doing mitzvahs that create this spiritual water cycle that allows the earth to continue to exist? So when we stop doing mitzvahs, how will that function? Rakhnir, so he wants to suggest. Shekamosha Kodra Bria, before creation. So Yirakhu Shemolavad, when it was just Hashem in his name. But Adam Ein Lava, there was no human being. Veligra Mayim Nukvim, so there's no feminine waters rising. So then how did Hashem create the world? What brought about those unifications? The answer is, by Yichud Mineyu Bei, it happened internally. Kamosha Kasub Asfar. Why? Says, I'm just repeating the words. Through the pleasure, Hashem saw that he will receive from his holy nation. Hashem saw in the future that if he creates a world, that there will be people who will do his mitzvahs. That future created an inspiration, a motivation, an elevation of the spiritual lights to cause a bringing down of creation. In other words, usually it's when we do mitzvahs, the reaction is this light. But there Hashem did it, that our future mitzvahs became retroactively the source, the cause for creation. Kisha Yibran, that when Hashem will make them, the Yavdu Osu B'Dvarim Gashmi, and they will serve him with physical ways. So he says, the Rav Shitzer. So that's what's going to happen in the future, but the other way. Hashem is going to use the past mitzvahs that we did. So we're going to lock in a system of mitzvahs that is eternally creating these unifications and bringing influence. And there say Yila Asa that Yichud Minei Bei will be internally. Hashem Echad Shmo Echad. Why? We'll be so connected to Hashem. That even physical things, the inanimate, the vegetable, the living, animals, pieces of wood, chairs and tables, Yavo Bahem Das will have a higher level of awareness. Every element of creation will be filled with a greater level of awareness. As it says, Umala Haaretz Deya, the world will be filled with knowledge, but it doesn't say the people in the world. But it says, "V'ha'aretz," the land itself. Sha'arti is gamken yimali deya, that even the land itself will be filled with awareness and knowledge. Through the mitzvahs we do now, the mitzvahs ma'asiyus gufanius, through physical actions, then later that will cause an internal system that will function as unification on its own. Because the primary service of Hashem is through physical actions. That's what Hashem wants. That's how we arouse the eternal light. So that's going to happen in the future on its own because we will have accomplished so much. You know, picture it like a battery of a car. I use crude mishalim, but I don't know how else to explain it, right? That you can run, you can give it some juice, but it will run out again. What you need to do is to get it enough in it that it's recharging itself, and now it can function on its own. You don't need to keep giving it more juice, right? So in the same way, there's a system. Obviously, there's a system. Right now, we're just giving it energy, and that's what it's using up. But there will come a point when we will set up an alternator on the battery. There'll be a system in place that will make it that the mitzvahs that we've done so far will accumulate and create a system that doesn't require any more our continued observance of the mitzvahs in a physical way. At some point, creation will graduate out of that. And this is going to happen through sanctifying the seven gates of our soul. That's the seven lamps and the seven flames of the menorah. To sanctify our seven gates. And to bring down from above this air, this hevel. And that's what the Chashmonaim brought down with their holiness. May Hevel Ha'Elyon Hamer Lahem. They brought down so much light from this Hevel, from this air that Hashem is bestowing on them. L'Zayin Havalim, to the seven layers of creation, to the seven layers of air. Like the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur. Shehim Shekhanal Achaz Ve'Achaz Ad Achaz Ve'Sheva. Therefore, what's Chanukah? It's not really 8 days, says the Zohar Kodesh. It's Achas V'Sheva. The Kohen Gadol sprinkles 8 times. Achas, once, above, then Achas V'Achas, Achas V'Shtayim, Achas V'Sholosh. So the question is gone. There was enough light for 1 day. There was only a miracle for 7 days. Why do we 8 days? On the contrary, the real source of the miracle, it's from the eighth level, which is above the seventh, which is the first day of Chanukah. That first day of Chanukah, there wasn't yet a miracle. There wasn't yet a miracle revealed. But that Hevel, that light that was there, that was in there, the famous words from the Kedushas Levi, who asks, the Gemara tells us that that when this miracle happened, the next year, they declared it a Yom Tov. The question is, why did they declare it next year a Yom Tov? As soon as they saw the miracle, they should have declared it a Yom Tov. And the answer is, because, as the Kedushas Levi says, that those lights, if they were just there at that time, then they were just there at that time. The next year they noticed that that same holiness, that same Kedusha was coming down again. So they said, aha, this is an annual thing, then we have to make it a Yom Tov, right? So he's saying that on the first day of Chanukah, there is this, from the light that's above the lights, from the Hevel that's above the Hevels, from the realm that's above the seven. It's above the seven attributes. And then we're bringing down from that high level, the Zayin Yimei Abinim, into the seven steps of creation. So we have to make not just a celebration of the miracle, but we have to make a celebration of the source of the miracle, which is, as we're saying, the light that's outside the white light, right? The neshama, that layer that's invisible, the layer that's beyond what we can recognize. That's what's there in the first day. Because they sanctified their seven gates. They brought down this incredible holiness from the supernal realms of Hevel. That's what we mean, because you are connected to Hashem, you are all living today, back to the where he started. Your body, your nefesh, your ruach, your neshama are connected l'shem avaya, to the four layers of Hashem's name. V'nizdabku be'esh ochla, and Hashem is the all-consuming fire metaphorically. You're also all-consuming fire metaphorically, because it's dalad varim shebener, it's the four layers of a flame. Misham, from that space, hemshichu hanes l'ner Chanukah, they brought down a miracle into the flames of the Chanukah. Says the Zera Kodesh, and by creating this channel that connects to the realm above the seven realms of creation, which is where the light is hidden, and it's literally the hidden light, so you can draw through this process by the sanctification of your internal menorah through your seven gates and creating yourself into a channel for this, you can sanctify yourself, and then you become the channel to draw down the Or HaGanus. Hisnotzosa Or Shel HaAsid, that's the light of the future. What's the light of the future? The light that will be so powerful that we will have done so many mitzvahs that we will have created a system where the flame functions on its own. So how long do you have to light the menorah? Until the flame rises on its own. That you should know that when you're holding the flame and the flame rises, that's a metaphor for a world Well, the flames will always rise on their own, where the holiness and the unification will always be there, set up with such a system. That's what we're alluding to when we're watching the flame rise up, is the Shalheves Olamei Aleha, that we are looking to a light, a world of the Oraganus, of the concealed light, where everything is so holy that we no longer need all that effort because the world would just be so sanctified. So you can reach into that in your Hanukkah menorah, specifically when you're lighting and when the flame rises. At that point, it's alluding to a world Yom Shekulo Shabbos, and you can bring that into this world today through your, well, not today, it's not Hanukkah yet, but in our lifetimes in this physical world. So the flame rises on its own. You should accomplish with your lighting, your internal lighting, shahaguf, that you should be, your internal system should be automatic. You should be so holy that you're automatically doing mitzvahs like we want in the future. Shaguf, your body, yekiseh lenefesh, should be a seat for your nefesh, the nefesh leruach, the ruach leneshama. And you could see all this when you're looking at a flame. By sanctifying the seven gates of your menorah, shadlakas neris moral zeh, which is indicated by the candlelight. That's the metaphor he's speaking of. But tifel, and so you will accomplish, they shall have, is that the flame, the horistima, the concealed light, the akif neshama, which surrounds the neshama, ola me'aleha shapsila, should rise on its own from the wick. It wouldn't be nice if all of us, our mitzvahs arose from within us on their own. Shuhagufa mekabel or, that's the body that receives the light. Kamo nukva mekapelas me'ashpia, like the feminine that receives from the masculine influence. So aydei ze tiflo mayim nukva, this will accomplish the feminine waters. Shiela asid ha'yichud minei, which we said will create a unification internally. Shal heves ola me'aleha, the flame rises on its own. That's the vort. And what the Rav Shutzer does with every vort virtually that he says on Hanukkah is he throws a whole bunch of gematrias at it. Ulerames, now I want to throw you some allusions. Shekoyah al Ner Chanukah, that this is a reference to Ner Chanukah. Kama shekasev Ramban b'parshas v'alosva. So he says, Timsa, the four words, Elmul Pnei HaMenorah, that you're supposed to light the Elmul Pnei HaMenorah, those four words equal 553. You add the kolal, the word itself is 554, is the same gematria as Lahadlik Ner Chanukah plus 36, which is the number of candles that we light. So once again, Elmul Pnei HaMenorah is 553, and Lahadlik Ner Chanukah and 36 is 554. Vayidei zeh, and through this, Anadvukim b'shem Havayah, it's trying to allude to the fact that Elmul Pnei HaMenorah, that if we face the menorah, it's Lahadlik Ner Chanukah through the 36 candles. And then through that, we cling to Hashem, Ayidei Guf, Nefesh, Ruach, Neshama, Shem Dalet, Devarim, Shebener Mitzvah, which is the four parts of the flame. Therefore, the three words, Va'atem, Hadveikim, Va'Hashem, with the Imaosius Va'Kolel, adding the letters and the word, is 652, is Gematria, Chanukah, but not Chanukah on its own, but if you stretch out Chanukah. So Chanukah Ches, Ches Yud-Tav, Nun, Nun Vav Nun, Vav, Vav Al Vav, Chaf, Chaf Pei, Hei Yud. So Va'Atem, Hadveikim, Va'Hashem, is the same gematria as Chanukah stretched out. Because, now, how do you think of this? I don't know. Every vort he has gematrias like this, but it's incredible. But they're both exactly 652 to tell you that it's through Chanukah that you can accomplish the Atim HaDeikim Hashem. But also, the three words, Esh Ochlahu, referring to Hashem as an all-consuming fire, so those three words, literally, those three words are 375, which is gematria 36 near Chanukah. Both exactly 375. Leramis canal, this is all alluding to the point we're making, that we are connected to Hashem, through this metaphor of the four elements of the flame. Therefore, we are connected to the realm of Esh Ochla, even though it consumes and destroys everything, which is the language of the Zohar. Anudvukim b'Hashem, we still connect to Hashem. V'chaim l'kulanu, we all have life. V'chol zeh nimshach lanu, this is all that we can accomplish. The Ner Chanukah, with the Ner of Chanukah. Let me just quickly review everything that we just learned. Okay. Okay, so again, he's starting with this Rabalosa, which is the idea that the flame must arise on its own. What does that mean? And then the Beis Yosef's question, why do we have 8 days of Chanukah, we only have seven? He quotes to us the Zohar about the four layers of the flame, and he explains with that that we also have the four layers of the flame, which is the four elements of our guf and nefesh, ruach, neshama, which is related to the four letters of Hashem's name. And since we are part of this Esh Ochla, this consuming fire, we're part of the metaphor. That's why we're not consumed by this. By this concept. Then he said that we have a menorah within us, which are the seven gates, all of which require hevel, this air that surrounds them in order to function, and that on a spiritual level, that comes from above, and that's the realm that's above the seven, which is where the Kohen Gadol goes into on Yom Kippur in order to bring down achas, achas, va'achas. And it's amazing, right? That on Chanukah, you yourself in your home are doing avodas Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur, right? So these seven gates, they need hevel, just like flame needs hevel. So you can't light a fire without air because it's an allusion to the fact that your seven gates also need air. Now this has to happen through physical mitzvahs. Hashem wants it specifically that you should be in guf nefesh, ruach, neshama. If your physical body, you got to bring down the flame. There has to be a thing for the flame to rest on. That's the true unification of Hashem's name. So then the question is, then what will happen in the future? It says that at some point we'll descend past physicality and there'll be no more physical mitzvahs. What will keep things going? So he says, just like it was before creation, it was because of what was going to be in the future. And after creation, all right, when we transcend creation, it will be because of what we've done in the past, that we've lit the fire so well that it's ole me'eleha, it functions and rises on its own. And this, all of this is what the Chashmonaim, who were also Kohanim, reached into this very high realm, and they brought this down from this very high place. And that's why the Beis Yosef's question is not difficult. Why do we have 8 days of Chanukah if the miracle was seven? The answer is the miracle we can see was seven. But the source of the miracle, where it all comes from, the light that's concealed, the realm of the neshama, that's beyond our comprehension, that's the Aleph, that's the Achas V'Sheva, the one and the seven, which is related to the word Az in Az Yashir. Whenever you see that, that's always, and so that's the 8 days of Hanukkah. And so we, through the 8 days of Hanukkah, we can bring down this Hevel from the realm above of the seven and connect to it and bringing down into our guf, into our nefesh, into our ruach, into our neshama. And when we elevate the flames, we wait till it rises on its own, alluding to the fact that we are waiting for the day when we too will turn ourselves into something that functions on its own to serve Hashem. And that's the power of Chanukah to allow us to access this great holiness and to bring about a taste of the Or HaGanuz, the hidden light. The light of the future, which transcends our world and transcends even the physical. And so that's why he had these three gematrias, El Mul Pnei HaMenorah equals Lahadlik Ner Chanukah, and 36. Atam HaDeikin BaHashem is equal to Chanukah stretched out, and Esh Ochlahu is equal to Lamed Vav Ner Chanukah. May all of us merit that if even a little bit, we should just to recognize the power that's available to us. When you light the Chanukah candles, those lights are very powerful flames. Are in general, the illusion of the flame represents greatness that's within you, and all of us should be zocha to elevate our neshamas. Kedush Tehiyah Tel Heves Ola Me'eleha. Everyone should have a happy Chanukah.
Amen.